listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening. Welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, June 17th. My name is Michael Kelly, and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hi, Michael. Good to be here.
And I am also turning my levels down so it's not quite so loud for y'all. Welcome to those joining us live as well as to those listening to the archives. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. Now we're going to begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are: 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. Always a great way to begin our discussions. And want to thank everybody for joining us tonight. I apologize. We were off the air last week. I just wasn't feeling very well, and we weren't able to do the broadcast, unfortunately, but
not COVID.
As far as you know, it's not COVID, but feeling much better this week, and thank you all for joining us. So tonight it's going to be an interesting one, honing your intuition, and that has Dr. Hunter written all over it. All right, go ahead.
Well, you know, off the top, when you're saying our mission is, it reminded me, I've been watching reruns of Star Trek.
Oh, yeah.
On Netflix. You know, I love those old shows. I absolutely love them.
The original series or The Next Generation?
Oh, The Next Generation. I watched one of the last seasons of Voyager. Now I'm rewatching Next Generation. You know, the thing is, I could probably tell you what every script is, but I just enjoy them so much.
Ah, they're fantastic. You can't leave Deep Space Nine out. Come on now.
Yeah. Oh, no. I like Deep Space Nine. That's up on my checklist, too. So, you know, just every now and again, I like to, I don't know, it's just fun. And, you know, just reminds me of years ago, but it's also clean and interesting and kind of sci-fi, but not really.
It's so funny because I've been going through myself. We're going to either have to give Paramount some money or they're going to have to pay us something for talking about it this much, but I have been watching it myself too. The Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, Voyager, even a few original shows, you know, series shows. And I think I'm hearing it's the same for you, that you just want something that's refreshing, that, you know, is talking about a better future.
Absolutely. I'm glad we're on the same wave. It must be quantum entanglement somehow, Michael, in sync. I love that. You know, I was thinking a lot about tonight's topic. We were going to have it last week, and I'm so glad you're feeling better, Michael. That's wonderful.
Thank you.
But thinking about it again today and being a little bit Star Trekked, <you know? laughs> and the thing is, for me, it was so important to be able to focus, learn what focusing your intuition really is. And it's to first determine what it's not. And I know I'm going to kind of probably rustle some feathers by saying this, but everybody is an empath. And when people say they're an empath, it kind of, you know, disturbs me a little. I'm saying everybody's an empath to some degree. People who have, let's say, Asperger's or levels of Asperger's don't have that same sensitivity for sociability and getting signals from people. But most everybody has a sense of how others feel. I mean, generally speaking, or you can pick up on emotions or pick up on the energy of a room, picking up on that. I call that just general sensory perception. Now, some people are really sensitive to emotion, not just the signals that we're getting of electromagnetic frequencies or just that energy. But they really do tune into a lot of the emotion because that's the center. It's focusing on the feelings of people. And I appreciate that tremendously. But once you understand that most often we are being sensory, kind of sensory beings as well as empathetic beings or empathic beings, then you can start to distinguish where there's something else that's an intuition or a sense. Now, just to give you an example, you know, during the COVID days, there was a greenhouse that I go to, and I get a few plants and, you know, things for my little garden. And I ordinarily, it's so big and spacious that I don't generally think to wear a mask in there, although I carry a mask with me. But one day I went in there a couple of weeks ago, and I just got this feeling. I had walked for about 3 minutes following the arrows, you know, and I went, oh, somebody in here is sick. Now, that's not intuition. That's sensory perception. And because I'm, you know, in a heightened sense of alert, so to speak, and all of us are in that way, then I was able to detect, oh, somebody here is not well. And I went, oh. And so I just relaxed with it for a moment, and all my radar is up now. And I went, oh, there are three people in here who are not well. And I went, okay, I need to do what I need to do and get out. Other times I've gone into a store, and even before I go in, this is where intuition comes in, I think. Before I even go in the store, I'm saying, oh, you know what? I'm wearing my mask. See, that's an intuition where you have no logical explanation. So one is where I can explain it by a sensory versus unless my sensory perception has extended, you know, beyond that immediate kind of aura, unless it actually is extending into the building, which is entirely possible. But I feel, no, I think I'm wearing my mask today, you know, or I think I'm going to wear that. And I get there, I say, oh, I'm really glad I have my mask on. So that's what I mean by intuition. So when you know what it's not, you can better hone what it is. Even such a thing as the other day, somebody popped into my mind, and I went, is that me thinking of someone, or is that a quantum entanglement where they're thinking of me? And as soon as I had that question, I realized, oh, that individual is thinking of me. So to me, I just wave in the cosmos, say, oh, nice to see you.
Was it Patrick Stewart?
No.
Ah, well.
I would like that, though. That would be fun. So it's being able to go through a little checklist in your mind. Sometimes it's not important to know who it is or how that is, only to get this sense that something is about to happen. Like the other day I'd told my daughter, I feel like this is a big week coming up. Like there's a number of events going to occur, not just to me, but to a number of people. And lo and behold, you know, I don't have to go into all the details, but little events starting to happen in this week. And so I, oh, well, that's what I was feeling. So that's intuition, you see. So again, being able to sense and kind of zero in on at least a little bit. Now, sometimes I talked to my late teacher's wife the other day, and she's in her late 70s and having a visit, and she said, you know, it's kind of not my reality. I don't really watch the news. There's nothing I can do. And besides, even when I get a feeling things are going to happen, what can I do about it? And I said, well, we can all just send out white lights and good vibes. She goes, oh, I do that anyway, which I know she does. So is what she is saying, she said, I feel like there's something environmental coming, and it could be 2022. I said, well, I think maybe even this year. She said, well, it could be, because sometimes we don't know about timing. But she could feel that something environmental is going to come. Now, without getting into all the details of that, because we're not fear-mongering. It's just a matter of prepping. But she had asked the question. She said, so even if we know it, what can you do about it? Ah, now that's a really good question. So we are going to get random thoughts, random intuitive information, but it's just there. It doesn't mean we do anything with it, because when you open a door, all kinds of information is open in the universe. So then how do you zero it in to what is applicable to an individual or your life? So even in a conversation with a friend not long ago, I said it's very interesting for me that when I read for people, I kind of pick, it's like tuning into a frequency, which is like a road. And I see a road map, like a movie of, yes, there's the energy. And depending on the layers of that road, because everything is in layers, whether it's physical, mental, emotional, but also events, what events are going to, that I can see are coming. And what people do with that, of course, is entirely up to them. But I might see it as, you know, it might be a good time to like not spend a lot of money. It might be time to pull back a little bit. Now, this is before COVID. So it's like, so that's how I see something like COVID. I can feel something in the world happening. But when I'm reading for someone, that's not really relevant. What's relevant to them is how they navigate through that. Does that make sense? So yeah. I realized that I'm picking a very, like a threaded frequency in someone's life. And sometimes I'm eavesdropping on other things in the cosmos and life and politics and whatever through the client. But it's keeping it to the relevance of their life. So then I don't see that big event of, oh, we're going to have this big pandemic. But mm-hmm. if I'm just randomly going through my day, I say, ooh, something is in the air globally. But it doesn't change the fact that when I read for somebody, and again, tuning in or honing in on their life, what their frequency is in navigating forward through life. So again, but you know, as we know, once somebody knows information, then you get the heads up, you can work with it. Some people just write down the notes and stick it in a drawer and pick it up in 6 months and say, oh, that was cool, you know, and carry on.
Well, and even if it's a situation where you cannot do something directly to affect the, you know, overall outcome, just simply the fact that you can, you know, point to it and say, this happened, I felt it coming on, mm-hmm. it's indicative of something.
Yeah.
And you know, a question that comes to mind that I would have for you, Dr. Hunter, is do you feel that intense emotion will obscure intuition?
Absolutely. When we're emotionally attached to the outcome, you can't see straight. And that's because our wants, our desires, our fears, all those, I'm glad you brought that up, Michael, because all that emotion will tamper how we want to see something versus the clarity of seeing something. So it's to be as neutral as possible. It's much easier for me to be neutral about somebody else's life. In fact, I have this formula that I've been using for many years. When I don't often do it, but occasionally I'll sit down and read the tarot for myself. One layout, again, the fog comes up, right? There's a fog. And so I go, I'm not sure what that is. I see this, I see that, and what does that mean? So I do it five times, which is the five elements. There's not just four, there are five. And I see what is consistent each time I lay those cards. And I say, I need to pay attention. Now, again, it's not so easy for me to read for myself because I'm in that, there's a veil of some kind. And I accept it now. I don't get upset with myself. Say, well, there's something there, and I have to have my heads up and be calm about it. Say, okay, we're good. Sure enough, the next day something will happen. Oh, that's what it's telling me. So it's being, again, as neutral as you can. It's kind of like emotions have that wonderful way of giving us a cognitive dissonance, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, so it's a how then can I see for myself? So emotions are a bit of a fog when it comes to intuition. And even if you have an intuition for someone else, then how are we articulating it? Because each of us lives in our own interpretive reality. A woman told me not long ago that her friend, who's very intuitive, she claims, gave her all these other predictions. And saying her ex-husband wants to come back and, you know, he wants to come back to you. And I said, well, okay, she's missing out the intent. What's his intent to do that? Because there's a struggle over the house. I said, he wants to come back so he can move in and kick you out. Like, that's if there is that. So I said, this is the problem we each have when we don't take it that step further, when we're giving information to somebody else, is this woman has her attachments. Oh, he wants back. And she stops there. You see,
she heard what she wanted to hear.
Exactly. So whatever messages she was getting intuitively, she had an attachment. So when you remove that attachment, I sit back and I go, he doesn't want you back. Wait a minute. Okay, I'm going to go with this. And I kind of plugged in and I said, no, he just wants back in the house. And the woman says, yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
These are the things to look at when we're trying to, like, by working on honing into be more observing of intuition. Go ahead, Michael. Sorry, I interrupted you.
No. I was just going to say that things are often, you know, more complicated than they initially seem. And there's always layers to things, and it's mindful to be aware of that complexity and to be mindful of, you know, your intuition about a subject.
Well, Wendy just gave a great example in the chat about a couple of months before COVID started. She started feeling the need to get on pre and probiotics and got on a clean eating diet to boost her immune system. And then she got sick. And again, I'm really sorry you got sick, Wendy, but she said she felt like somewhere, something in her knew that she'd need to survive. And I totally agree with you, Wendy. It's like an intuition. But we could say that that could be a biological sensory perception also. So, but I'm not opposed to calling that intuition. It's like, sure. Oh, something's out there that could affect me. Combined with the sensory perception, I need to build my body because if, you know, I need to be able to ward this off and work through it. I've done the same thing. Or I've had something wrong with me and I go, there is no pharmaceutical that's going to help me. I need to go to naturopathic. And sure enough, as a matter of fact, another woman I know, she had a toxic poisoning, but the way the symptoms were presenting, the doctors wanted to give her this medication, and she said, oh, my every instincts and intuition say I can't take that. That's going to kill me. And they thought she was being dramatic, when in fact, when finding out later for what she does have in this poisoning, had she taken that medication, it would have killed her. So she was going by her feelings. So the other lesson in this is not giving away your responsibility for yourself so that you are more intuitive. So I think that's another thing that inhibits intuition, is if we're looking elsewhere for something to get fixed for us, or maybe it is that your intuition is going to take you to somebody who can give you those keys of what to take that would help you. So again, I mean, it can work, but not to turn your life over to someone.
Right. It's just, it's the balance of things that, you know, there are, sorry about that, if you can hear that coming through the audio, but something going by outside.
Yeah, all right.
But it's about the balance of things. It's about the balance of, you know, certain occasions call for, you know, certain things and certain medicines and things like that. But it's, you know, being open to reason and the reason of your own intuition, too. And
yeah.
It's, again, like so many things, I really like to bring things back to a balance, because often I find the truth is really in the middle between the two extremes of realities.
I totally agree. Oh, sorry, I was just taking a drink of something. Had a little coughing spell there.
Oh, no worries. I could have ranted on longer if only I'd done.
If only you'd done. So it's, yeah, but it's really about... So when we're talking about honing intuition, so backing up here too, honing intuition is to first know what it's not. And to know about, as you had mentioned, Michael, that emotional connection to outcomes. Because that's going to create a mess. So then it's to know about that feeling. And it takes a while. It took me years, actually. When I would do readings, I'd have no problem. Not at all. I sit down, focus. I love the cards. I love numbers. I can look at hands, you know, lots of different tools to focus on, because that's the focal point. And then it just can flow. But I'm also detached. So I'm trying to be sensitive, responsible, and all, you know, the ethics and the morality of giving information. Mm-hmm. But it was that much easier. So then in my own life, I'd say, well, what's that feeling? The feeling that I have when I read for somebody else, what's that feeling in my own life? Now, like everybody else, I have made some pretty big, you know, errors. You know, when you get together, a couple gets together and somebody says, ooh, you know, everything seems so right. I got this feeling something doesn't quite make sense, but, you know, I'm going to go with it because I have no logical reason not to. But sure enough, sometime later, relationships going sideways, and they go, I had this bad feeling. You know? It's, again, not following the feeling to explore before we make commitments or big decisions in our life. And I think that's what's really important. That's why the learning about yourself and that intuitive sense that we get is so important before we take action. Like, what is that feeling? And to trust it. And it was mentioned in the chat earlier about learning to trust your feeling. You know, and again, not emotional feeling. It's that intuitive feeling.
Right. I mean, and it can be difficult sometimes, especially, you know, for me, because I can tend to be an emotional person at times, and it's so hard to find the truth of your intuition interwoven in that emotion. So, you know, that question was very much from my own personal perspective. But, you know, and I also think that our awareness is that collection of things that are, you know, it's the essence of what we are. It's the evidence that we are more than the sum of our parts. And that extends itself into that intuition. You know, just like you said earlier, even if it is just biological, even if it is our sensory inputs kind of melding together to give us a bigger, broader message. And then you can also go a step further. And some people are much more in tune than, well, I know you say everybody's an empath to a degree, and I would agree with that. But, okay, hold on.
Well, what I think, and here Dr. Shirley has mentioned something really interesting, that she had been having earaches and living in an environment that wasn't healthy, and that there was some, you know, negativity toward her. And she found another place to live in a kind environment, and her earaches went away. Do you see? Yeah. That's another way that your body's sensory perception, you know, when those senses are acting up. And I would, this is as strange as this sounds, if I get pinches in my right ear, I know there's danger around somewhere. It's just my body physically reacts, and I've paid attention to it long enough. Oh, this is not, there's negativity or fear or something around me. It's a little, like a tiny little pinching in my ears. And I know to look around or go to a different area or go home, you mm-hmm. know. And it's just that kind of response, the body. Again, that's a sensory perception as well. So it manifests in different ways when we're occupied. The body is trying to tell us, you know, what's going on.
Absolutely. And to something that Wendy asked in chat, and I think we might have touched on it before. I don't recall it, but can we fully trust our intuition, which is kind of what I had touched on in relation to emotion, but let's take it to a broader context of, do you think that there are situations, well, let's put it this way, do you think there are a majority of situations where you can only rely on your intuition, or do you think it should be one piece of evidence and a broader spectrum of inputs and your reasoning?
Oh, you know, I have formulas for me. If I'm getting some kind of intuitive messaging, maybe it's, I talk to my higher self, the cosmic self, whatever you want to say. I say, I need to see it in a new way. So I have a formula of three. Show me three times or three different ways, you know, for me to go in that direction or take those steps. I don't know as if we can ever fully trust. I think it's a matter of self-certainty and how well you know yourself. But also, we're human beings trying to get through life. Mm-hmm. So we may go, you can go against your intuition, but knowing that that's the lesser of the negatives that you have to work with, because there's no ideal. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
If we need to take a step forward, but there is no ideal answer, your intuition says, oh, you're going over there, but I don't know how you're going to get there. And all those steps are, well, I think I have to navigate this, you know, and it's going to be some challenges here, but it's not always, you know, the greatest. So, can we fully trust the intuition? I think at some level of our consciousness, we are drawn in certain places even though we don't know it and we don't understand it.
I would agree with that. I think, I mean, for me, it has to be a case-by-case basis, and, you know, the nature and strength of the feeling and the sense of intuition.
Yeah.
And how powerfully, you know, it comes across. But as
well, it's kind of like, why did I go to that store at that time to run into so-and-so, you know?
Right.
I didn't know, but, and that's a good thing. Other times where I didn't do something and heard later somebody said, oh, do you know that this happened there? Oh, man, I didn't go. But then there's this thread of one's life. Like, how did life take that journey? How did that road occur? You know?
Right.
How did you, like, you wouldn't have thought to meet those people or those people have those experiences. So I think that there's a thread of this higher consciousness that's always at work, and always that energy is always propelling forward, even though our awareness to it is minimized, because we're just people. We're just down here trying to figure it out, making the best decisions we can. But honing the intuition, that's a life journey of learning. It's about learning about your spirit self, It's about learning where we're, our fears and our, each of us has things that are inadequacies or things we're working on. And the older and stronger we become, the more certain we become about who we are. Ah, intuition is just starts because there's more space for intuition.
Mm-hmm.
But if you try too hard, it kind of evaporates. Because then it's your desire for something is in the way. It's to let it flow. So that's kind of the best advice I can give in a really short period of time. So.
Well, it's such a deep topic. You know, there's a lot to explore about it.
Yeah.
And all the different levels. But, well, it's been a great topic. You know, from my perspective, I always enjoy these discussions because I can kind of fill in that role of, in this discussion of the layperson, because I don't have that, to me, innate sense of intuition to the level that you do. So these kind of discussions are really fascinating for me, and I always take a lot away from them, so thank you for that.
Well, thank you. I thanks for saying that. I mean, it's... I love these discussions, too, and I learn just as much, and I really appreciate all the conversation going on in the chat. It's good people sharing some of their experiences and a few questions in there, and, that's a good thing. So we're going to pick some cards now, Michael, and I think we have Dr. Shirley up next. We're going to do the same thing as before. We have in previous programs where Michael's going to select one of the self-discovery inner oracle cards.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to back it up with a tarot card and see what we have as a support energy.
All right. And Dr. Shirley, the first card I pulled is number 27, Gains. Every choice and action has a trade-off end result. What are you willing to trade for this result or gain? A secondary gain has a price for getting what we want, and the price is denial of the truth of a situation or behavior. This may be a time to assess if something needs to be traded for improved benefits. Healthy decisions are sure to bring about positive results and satisfying gains.
Well, I had to unmute myself there for a second. And in support of gains, now, Shirley, you had mentioned about moving to a more positive environment, and I think gains is really applicable there for you. So taking it a step further in your new environment that's healthier, you know, what are you willing to surrender to continue that, you know, positive energy, right? And what you have here in support of that is a magician, which to me is an alchemy. And, you know, being one of the major arcana, I would say that you have that support around you, not just in the way that you think, but other people you haven't met yet. And there is this kind of metamorphosis going on. So, you know, lightening your heart and moving forward and saying, what is it that you want? What are your goals? And what are you willing to trade off, you know, and trade up? You know, so it's not a matter of losing, it's a matter of improving. So I think that's a really good message for you. I like that. You're in a transition. It feels really positive. Okay, we have Irma. Welcome, Irma. Nice to have you here. Michael, what do you have for Irma? Are you there? Hello?
I am. I've been talking this entire time on mute, so luckily the cats around me have been able to hear me just fine, but otherwise...
Oh, we're on the same wave. I did it a minute ago, too, Michael. All right.
That's too funny. All right, well, and I've been hot on the mute button, too, because I don't know exactly what's going on, but I assume there's a biplane doing some kind of stunt maneuver above my house, so...
Oh, that's funny.
So I've been... on and off with the mute as well. But I did pull card number 4, past, present, and future. The three universal laws of personal responsibility are, 1, you are accountable for your past, present, and future. 2, Don't expect others to do for you what you can and should do for yourself. 3. Don't do for others what they can and should do for themselves. Remember, present circumstances reflect past choices. Embrace responsibility and move forward with renewed vigor.
Well, Irma, I don't mean to get across any lines of too personal in a way. In addition to past, present, future, what came up was the Nine of Spades for me, and that indicates something about grieving, in my view, or loss or grieving, and a review of your past, present, future. So I thought, well, I'm going to pick another card to see what else is there, and it came out the Queen of Hearts. So this would say to me that there's a spiritual and emotional shift in your life, and sometimes we do a review of the past and we see, you know, where we're at, taking inventory, and how we want to move forward. And it's all about how you're moving forward now from your heart. So you're in a I'm going to say a life spiritual transition. And again, I don't mean to cross any boundaries, especially on air. But I feel I'm an observer in this, right? So I'm just going to say I find that exciting. It's not always so exciting when you're going through it. So I don't in any way want to invalidate any sense of loss or sadness, because what I get in that too is a wet heart. So when I feel a wet heart, it's there's a letting go process and a grieving process. So I say you're on the other side, you're beginning to look forward, and I do see some really wonderful things. I see a big rainbow, so there's really some nice things coming for you. So I hope that makes sense.
All right.
So we have Dr. Edward is next. Michael, what do we got?
All right, Dr. Edward. I have wild card number 1, Paradox. One of my personal favorites.
Because you love that, that's why.
That's very true. A truth can be found in seemingly contradictory ideas. What may seem like a false proposition can be a new set of ideas and ways of thinking. Your solution may lay in the opposite direction than you think. Keep in mind that the cosmos works in equals and opposites. Not all truths lay in common opinions. This may be a time for contrarian thinking and opening your mind to what may not make sense at first, and thus new perspectives are discovered.
Well, what I really like about the Six of Spades in support of that, Edward, is that there is a direction, there is movement, there may be some challenges. So it's doing something contrarian to what you would do to get to your destination. So, in other words, not following an ordinary path. In other words, your goal is in sight, but the path to get there isn't ordinary. So I think that that's what this is trying to say, is keep following that path. Even though there's some challenges and to think there, you know, thinking and strategizing, I'd say you're on the right pathway. All right. I'd like to, if I can inject here before we go to Wendy, thanks for the feedback, Irma.
Yes. Thank you very much.
She's just sharing quickly that helping her mother today, and we're talking about her baby brother who passed away in 1969. And what you both said just now really resonated. And she's always tried to pick up on his spirit, and that makes her sad because I haven't yet. So thanks both very much. Irma, if I can say that when I could connect so easily with that, I lost my brother in 1985, and I do understand that connection. And so maybe that's where I could feel that so much, because we have a similar kind of like a similar experience in that. But I know that it's funny how there is no time or space with loss, is there? And it's like it just happened yesterday, but it's like, ooh, all those many years ago. So my heart's with you. And thanks so much for that feedback. I'm sending you a lot of bright lights and energy right now.
Absolutely,
so,
me as well. And it's just evidence that you know, the essence of our reality isn't always corporeal, is it? We exist both in both places. But
exactly. Yeah. True enough. What do we have for Wendy, Michael?
All right, Wendy. Wendy, we have another wild card. It's wild card number 8, freedom. Love the wild cards.
Freedom.
All right. Freedom is a state of being. It is an unencumbered mind that can remain open and move forward. Freedom is the ability to recreate the self, shedding old ideas that no longer serve any purpose for present and future evolution. Freedom is the knowing of who and what one is as a free and sovereign being of the universe. Freedom means one can be or do anything one wants, within the limits of do no harm and do right.
Well, there's a really powerful energy going on here, Wendy, because I select the King of Clubs, King of Wands in, you know, tarot language, and then the World. I thought, well, what the heck is that? So I selected the World. So what I think here, Wendy, and again, I don't want to cross too many boundaries on the program, but finding out who you are while you're connected in a relationship or involved with other people, whether that be friends, you know, and not just, let's say, a heart or intimate relationship, but that you can still have your own frequency and how the world can still open up, not surrendering your identity. And I'm going to speak as a woman to you. I think that that's... I think that women are we're brought up that way, aren't we? And we're still in that way of trying to be the pleasers and make others happy. And I'm not saying men don't do that, but women are just, we're conditioned. So it takes a long time for us to know that we can have our independence, our autonomy, and our sense of feeling equal to others, and particularly in relationships. And find that, again, that freedom, that sense of freedom, and that then the world can grow from an equal foundation. So I didn't mean to go on and on about that, but I think there was a lesson, perhaps, for all of us to hear that, of how we grow better together equally, rather than finding those the subservience and the power and the authoritarian. You know, it's just naturally somebody's better at that than me. You know, knock yourself out. At the same time, I'm good at certain things. So between us all, there's this really nice balance going on. And if we can just accept that and move forward, oh, man, what a different world this would be, hey?
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that makes sense. Wendy just put so true, but hope that makes sense. I think that you're finding your own, your a new kind of autonomy in yourself. You know, Dr. Edward thinks, he says women tend to be nurturers, and that's true. That's the female energy, and that hopefully long-term thinker, long-term viewer of nurturing. And men, it's more immediate and short-term. Between the two, there's a negotiation or a collaboration of mm-hmm. energies and how to, you know, create a good life together.
Oh, absolutely. While we're on the subject, just briefly, sometimes, you know, your parent has to be able to display both types of energies, no matter the gender.
Yeah, and, absolutely.
But, mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
I believe...
We're kind of out of time and out of names in the chat.
Actually, we do have Audra.
I'm sorry.
Threw her name in.
Audra.
So,
Audra, you thought I forgot you or something. I just didn't see it. Well, let's do one for
we
Audra,
always
shall
have
we?
Time. We always have time for one more card, and that's number... two more in this case.
Okay.
And that is 17, reinvention.
Mm, a mystery.
Mm. Nothing is more powerful or transformative than self-reinvention resulting in personal identity foundation shift. Far-reaching and profound, such a personal reinvention shifts the foundation of your self-concept from external to internal, which, in turn, is vital to your future success and happiness. Re-examine your core values and ensure they are healthy. Answer the questions, what do I call a good day? And what else in my life should be reinvented?
Well, I love that, first of all, let me say. The first tarot card I drew for you, Audra, with that is the Five of Hearts. And I see that as contemplative. You know, before you cross the river, you look at what's spilled, what do you have, and, you know, get a visual on that. And so it's contemplative. And I thought, okay, contemplative about. So I pulled another card. So I didn't have to work very hard, I'm confessing. And the exciting thing, Audra, is it's the Fool. It's like you're on the precipice of making a big leap forward. So that reinvention, and it's taking inventory, contemplating, and you're about to, it's like that, you know, racehorse out of the gate, so to speak. And I'd say, though, if I can say this, don't contemplate too long. You know, it's find your intuition, okay? That sense that says, okay, no matter how nervous I might be or overthinking or analytical I might be, it's that feeling of go, you know? Yeah. Just get that go. Do it. And I think I see that it's interesting that there's a lot of that energy of a transformation tonight, Michael. Have you noticed that? Like people making changes. It's great.
There has been. You're absolutely right about that.
I love that.
Well, I mean, change can be a wonderful, wonderful thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's fresh, refreshing, too. It's
inevitable.
You know, one thing that we all need is something to look forward to. I know a lot of people are feeling, there's a lot of pressure in the world. And there's a lot of things to be sensible about, you know, to be awake to and know when to step forward, where you want to be involved socially or in your community, mm-hmm. how you're contributing, but also knowing how to stay safe. And your intuition is what will serve you. You know, if you get a feeling to look over your shoulder, that might be sensory perception combined with some intuition. So look over your shoulder and duck at the same time, just to be sure, you know, and learn about yourself through that. Have your full sense of self, your spirit, your emotions, your good thinking and your physicality to move you through these days. You've got this. And I know that everybody listening and all the students with IMHS and TFU, you're learning about it, and some of you have graduated, and you've got this, but we're all still on a learning journey, right? And so no matter what is going on in the world right now, we've got this. You know, mm-hmm. we can ride this out. We're up for the ride, and we're going to contribute whatever we can energetically to support this, what I call a correction in the world, and I love that, and I'm very excited about these days. So, but again, to be sensible. Yeah.
No, great, great advice and great words, and you know, it's a great way to round out our discussion tonight too, because you know, it's definitely hitting home on what's going on, and I can't think of anything better to add. That was fantastic, and it's been a great conversation, and I thank you for joining me. I thank everybody that's joined us live in the chat, which has been, you know, a vibrant discussion. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. And you know, we also appreciate those that can listen to the archives and those that can take something away from these discussions, but it's always a pleasure to have those joining us with the live broadcast and the live chat, so thank you for that. So next week I know we're going to be talking about, I guess, the metaphysical nature of the natural world. Might change the title a little bit. That's kind of a little but it's going to be an interesting one, talking about the natural world, its wonders, and I think a metaphysical perspective on that. So looking forward to that, and I hope that you all can join us next week. And
thank you, everybody.
Until
you've been awesome tonight.
Oh, it has been. It really has been. And until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night.